Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham, blessed to be here with you today, along with my co-host for life, Monica Siefker. Thanks for joining us. Well, as Catholics, we're probably more familiar with the month of October being dedicated to the Holy Rosary and Respect Life Month than we are with it being observed as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But every year in October, countries around the world mark the month with various campaigns and fundraisers to help increase attention and support for the early awareness, early detection, and treatment of this prevalent disease. What does Breast Cancer Awareness Month have to do with Respect Life Month? Well, as it turns out, a lot. We'll be connecting the dots for you on today's show, but before we get started in our discussion today, Monica's going to start us off in prayer.
Well, since we're in the month of the Holy Rosary, I'm going to read this short little reflection that comes from Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said to her would be fulfilled. The Rosary is a devotion strongly embraced by the pro-life movement. In the Hail Mary, we praise a mother and we worship the fruit of her womb. Our salvation began because a mother said yes to the life within her. In the Rosary, we also say, pray for us sinners. We know that sin is in the world, but we start by repenting of the sin within us. That is the best way to rebuild the culture of life. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And now, here's this week's In the News.
The National Institute for Reproductive Health has released a best cities list for where women have the easiest access to abort their unborn children. The pro-abortion group ranked 50 U.S. cities based on 34 indicators ranging from the enactment of buffer zones around abortion centers and other policies that support abortion to issues like paid sick leave and a $15 minimum wage. Topping the list are San Francisco, New York City, Chicago, Boston, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. The city with the lowest score was Billings, Montana. The report also bemoaned the fact that Midwestern cities tend to be more hostile to so-called reproductive health care, while the coastal cities do more to promote abortion. And the city of Kendallville in northeastern Indiana will hold a memorial service at noon on November 2nd for the 2,411 aborted babies whose remains were found on the property of late abortionist Ulrich Klopfer. This past Tuesday, the Kendallville Board of Works approved Noble County Right to Life's request to hold the event. The pro-life organization said they hope to raise awareness of the horrific find and to spread a message of love and compassion to mothers and children in need. In September, authorities discovered 2,246 medically preserved remains of aborted babies in a garage located on Klopfer's Illinois property. 165 more fetal remains were found several weeks later in a vehicle stored on one of his other properties. Finally, approximately 18 unborn children were denied their right to life this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. One mother came from Kentucky and the remainder from various Hoosier counties to have their unborn children killed. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were there to offer help, hope, and love as the mothers went in, and a men's overnight prayer group offered reparation for the sins committed against life right there at 421 South College Avenue. And that's your weekly In the News.
Well, Monica, no doubt most of us have seen all of the novel breast cancer pink ribbon products that are on display, especially here in October during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that are designed to raise awareness and funds to help support research and to find a cure for what has become the most common cancer in women worldwide. According to the World Health Organization, there are about 1.38 million new cases and 458,000 deaths from breast cancer every year. Here in the U.S., One in every 8 American women will be diagnosed with it, and the number is rising. So there is good reason for women to be concerned and for researchers to not only find a cure, but to look for the preventative measures to keep this disease at bay.
Yeah, absolutely, Rhonda. Those are some frightening statistics, and any woman wants to know, is there anything I can do to help prevent this dreaded disease? Well, the good news is that studies are answering this question with a strong affirmative, and it falls directly in line with being pro-life. One recent study called abortion the single best predictor of future breast cancer cases and warned that women must be told about the risk, something that abortion supporters, however, are loath to do. Well, we're going to get into this causal relationship between abortion and breast cancer in the show today. Not only are unborn lives at stake, but so are the lives of women. And because of the polarization between those who support abortion and those who oppose it, the issue of preventing breast cancer seems to become way more political than scientific. But then again, we're living in times when even the most basic scientific observations, like when life begins and even gender, have become questionable and malleable to those with ideological agendas that are contrary to the natural and moral order.
Well, Monica, let's start off with a corollary study whose lead author has no axe to grind in the abortion debate. He was just seeking the truth. Now, this analysis involved an insurance study of 8 European countries by a British actuary named Patrick Carroll. An actuary is someone who compiles and analyzes statistics and then uses the information to calculate insurance risks and premiums. The skinny of the study revealed that by having an abortion, a woman raises her risk of breast cancer by at least 30%. The researchers also concluded that abortion is fueling an epidemic of this horrible disease.
Well, as was expected, this blockbuster study was denounced by abortion rights proponents, even though it was completely sound. Fortunately, Dr. Jane Orient, who is a managing editor of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, agreed with Carroll's study simply because she said, quote, "it made a lot of biological sense," close quote. Dr. Orient included the study in the October 2007 issue of that medical journal. And also in this study, Carroll and others showed that young women who have an abortion before having a child are at the greatest risk for developing breast cancer. Carroll said, "An abortion in a young woman who has never had a child has a carcinogenic effect because it leaves breast cells in a state of interrupted hormonal development in which they are more susceptible."
Now, in order to have reliable statistics for the study, Carroll examined data from 8 European countries that were believed to have extremely accurate official abortion counts. And these included England and Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, the Irish Republic, Sweden, the Czech Republic, Finland, and Denmark. He also used those countries' national cancer registration data for female breast cancer. Now, performing an ecological study, Carroll saw a very strong correlation over an extended period of time between abortion and breast cancer. He used the data to predict future incidence of breast cancer and was extremely accurate. In fact, using figures from 1997, Carroll predicted 100% of the cancers observed in the UK in 2003 and 97.5% of all cancers observed in 2004. He predicts that the incidence of breast cancer in England and Wales will increase by 51% by 2025, with abortion being the biggest risk factor. Carroll also found that Ireland, which has the lowest breast cancer rates in the British Isles, also has the lowest abortion rates.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's going to be changing soon, isn't it, because of the recent legalization of abortion there.
Yeah, another very interesting correlation is that women from upper social classes and those women who are more highly paid have higher rates of breast cancer. "You can't explain this without acknowledging the abortion factor," Carroll said. "In all other cancers, lower classes of women have higher risks of developing cancer. But breast cancer alone is more common in upper-class women and those with higher earnings." In his study, Carroll saw the same group of women were the ones who had the greater preference for abortion when pregnant. He said, "Rightly or wrongly, we've had abortion for more than 40 years, and now the time has come to look at the results."
Well, Dr. Orient lamented how Carroll's findings are being swept aside by most doctors because they simply do not want to confront this issue. Doctors know that many of their patients who have abortions really don't want to do it, but are looking at the immediate problem that's disrupting their lives, Dr. Orient said. "It's not right to deprive a patient of the information she might find important. Most women really want to know." Now, currently, there are only 3 states that require doctors to tell women about the possible link between abortion and breast cancer: Texas, Minnesota, and Mississippi. So clearly, women aren't getting this vital information before they have an abortion. Dr. Orient, who does consider herself pro-choice, said, "You certainly can't say that abortion directly causes breast cancer, but it certainly increases the risk. But if it increases the risk by 30%, that's a lot for such a common disease."
It seems so obvious. The incidence of breast cancer has been rising, and it parallels the rise in induced abortions. It seems ideology trumps science and at the cost of women's lives and health. And it also seems evident why there would be an abortion breast cancer link, or the ABC link as it is often referred to. So let's run through that quickly. Now, during pregnancy, many dramatic changes are occurring in a woman's body, including her breasts, because it is here that milk will be produced to nourish her baby. In a healthy pregnancy, estrogen and other hormones prepare her body for breastfeeding by developing clusters of breast tissue known as lobules.
Now, real quickly, Rhonda, estrogen is a female hormone, and it is one that stimulates cell division. If you get too much of it, however, cell division can go awry and result in cancer.
Yes, that's right. Now, when a woman becomes pregnant, estrogen and other pregnancy hormones increase the number of lobules in the breast and then mature them from a basic, less stable state known as type 1 or type 2 to a mature state referred to as type 3 or type 4. The mature breast tissue is significantly less vulnerable to the harmful and potentially cancer-causing effects of estrogen. And here's the important part. When the changes taking place in a woman's breasts during pregnancy are interrupted for any reason, be it a late miscarriage, a very premature delivery, or an induced abortion, the breast lobules will only partially develop, leaving much more unstable breast tissue, type 1 or type 2, than before. This vulnerable breast tissue will subsequently be exposed to estrogen, either naturally through a woman's monthly cycle or artificially if the woman takes hormonal contraception, or through other environmental exposures. The gist of it is, an induced abortion leaves a woman with unstable type 1 or 2 breast tissue and puts her at a considerably heightened risk for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. And there's an abundance of scientific data to back this up. As of 2014, at least 28 epidemiological studies worldwide show a positive ABC link, with 21 pointing to a statistically significant risk. 2 out of the 3 major meta-analyses on this subject support the existence of the ABC link also. One of these was a huge 36 studies done in mainland China. It showed a statistically significant risk of breast cancer following abortion. Now, besides that insurance study we just went through, another very important finding came from the subcontinent of India. And this one, like many of the others, found a causal relationship between abortion and an increased risk of breast cancer, and not just a correlation. The data from this study just destroys the talking points peddled by abortion breast cancer deniers. In 2014, 12 studies were carried out in India that looked to see whether there was a link between prior abortions and breast cancer. All 12 found that women who had abortions were at an increased risk. In fact, according to Steve Mosher from the Population Research Institute, the average odds ratio for these 12 studies was 5.54. That means that the breast cancer risk for Indian women who've had a prior abortion is 5.5 times that of women who have not. Or put another way, those who have had an induced abortion have a 554% increased risk of developing breast cancer.
And there's a good reason why this study is so important. That's because India is the ideal place to study the ABC link. Indian women tend to marry early, do not use hormonal contraceptives, have multiple pregnancies, and they breastfeed their babies. So that eliminates all of the other known major risk factors for breast cancer. Thus, the ABC link comes through loud and clear. Well, in spite of these solid studies, most medical authorities simply will not accept the abortion breast cancer link. These include the American Cancer Society, the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, also known as ACOG, the National Cancer Institute, and the United Kingdom's Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. But there are signs that over time, doctors are overcoming some of their prejudices and looking at the facts. One such example is Dr. Janet Dayling of the National Cancer Institute. Dr. Dayling identifies as pro-choice and published a crucial study in 1994 that backed the ABC link. Here's what she wrote. If politics gets involved in science, it will really hold back the progress that we make. I have three sisters with breast cancer, and I resent people messing with the scientific data to further their own agenda, be they pro-choice or pro-life. I would have loved to have found no association between breast cancer and abortion, but our research is rock solid. And our data is accurate. It's not a matter of believing, it's a matter of what is.
And there are at least a couple of professional medical organizations that have voiced their concerns over the ABC link. In 2015, the American College of Pediatricians urged all women to know their ABCs. When one considers the normal anatomy and physiology of the breast, it becomes clear that this link is causal, not merely correlational, the ACP president stated. And of course, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons has made it known that women considering an abortion have the right to know about the large volume of research supporting the ABC link. Incidentally, there's a wonderful organization called the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute in New Jersey that provides an exhaustive list of peer-reviewed abortion breast cancer studies. They're at bcpinstitute.org. Their mission is to educate both healthcare professionals and the public through research publications, lectures, and the internet on ways to reduce breast cancer. Their site contains a plethora of resources, including lots of great videos. I encourage every woman to check out their website and to spread the word.
The Breast Cancer Prevention Institute has some incredible doctors on board, like Joel Brind and Angela Lenfranchi, to name just a couple. These doctors continue to be alarmed at the lack of information out there on the ABC link and by the vitriol launched against those who try to help educate women on this very important issue.
In fact, Dr. Joel Brind was one of the first scientists to publicize the link between abortion and breast cancer. We all owe him a debt of gratitude because he's done a lot of work and taken a lot of hits. Commenting on studies showing that abortion increases breast cancer risks, Brind said, "These strong links are of the sort of magnitude that has typified the link between cigarettes and lung cancer." And just as the tobacco companies tried to hide and downplay the connection between smoking and cancer, the abortion industry is now doing the very same thing.
Well, let's return to the actuary Patrick Carroll, because the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons published yet another one of his studies in the spring of 2017. Carroll again was raising the alarm about what he called the modern epidemic of female breast cancer and the failure of public health officials to respond appropriately to it. In his paper, he outlines the reproductive and hormonal risk factors known to affect breast cancer. These include fertility or the number of children a woman has. The more children a woman gives birth to, the better protected against breast cancer she is. If a woman is childless, she is at greater risk for developing breast cancer. Breastfeeding is highly protective for a woman. The age at which a woman gives birth to her first child is also a strong factor. A lower age is protective, and a higher age is conducive. Aside from these factors coming into play, Carroll adds that abortion, the use of hormonal contraceptives, and hormone replacement therapy all increase the likelihood of developing breast cancer.
Oh, yes. Here we get to the other acronym for the ABC link, abortion birth control. Because guess what? Hormonal contraception, the morning after pill, and the abortion pill are all loaded with those nasty synthetic estrogens, which encourage out-of-control cell division. Let's turn to another Indian study, this one done in late 2013, that showed a tenfold increased risk of breast cancer with oral contraceptive pill use. The lead author in this study said, "We found long-term use of oral contraceptive pills higher among those suffering from breast cancer, 11.9%, compared to healthy individuals at 1.2%. Now, as we described in the process earlier, Rhonda, the repeated exposure of breast tissue to the synthetic estrogens found in the hormonal contraceptives elevates the risk.
Again, this is all just common sense, and it's backed by science. There was also a big story in the New York Times just a couple of years ago that talked about a study included in the New England Journal of Medicine that showed that by taking hormonal contraceptives for 10 years, a woman increases her risk of breast cancer by 38%. This study was important because it not only examined the new lower hormone dose forms of contraception, but it also looked at IUDs, and both were shown to still be connected with a greater risk for breast cancer. And one doctor told the New York Times that this study's results show a significant public health concern.
And Rhonda, I think we also need to remember that this is just not about the women themselves who ingest these potent chemicals. It becomes a major concern for all of society because these chemicals come out in the waste products, which then affect the environment and things like water sources. And we could do a whole other show on this subject alone. And there are numerous studies that show breast cancer is not the only danger for hormonal contraceptive users. Blood clots, aneurysms, and depression are also prevalent and very serious problems.
Another major factor that we should all consider during this Respect Life Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month is the number of young girls who are on the pill or some other form of hormonal contraceptive. And that number is alarming. I wonder if anyone has told these young women and their mothers that the birth control pill joins tobacco, asbestos, and radium in the group 1 carcinogen list put out by the World Health Organization.
This is such an important piece of information. So many women don't know that hormonal contraceptives are listed as group 1 carcinogens. And yes, the hormonal contraceptives, as is abortion, are particularly damaging to young women whose breast tissue is still undergoing changes. The stabilization of breast tissue does not occur until after the childbearing process, making the ingestion of the pill for these younger women particularly dangerous. As we said earlier, estrogen encourages cell division. When you take these pills or shots or implants loaded with this synthetic estrogen gunk, you're going to have excessive multiplication of cells occurring in non-stabilized tissue and even see direct damage to breast tissue DNA. It's really not rocket science. In one of her talks in a video on the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute's website, Dr. Lanfranchi puts it this way. It's like taking this Molotov cocktail of a group 1 carcinogen and throwing it into a young girl's breast. Is this not child abuse?
Yes, it is. And we've got a culture to change, and it is imperative that we start getting out there and doing just that.
Well, another big reason why we're down there at 421 South College Avenue, Rhonda, if we can't get women to see the morality behind contraception, we at least can get them started down the path by pointing out the absurdity of putting group 1 carcinogens into your body and expecting that all is going to be well.
Here's some additional quick statistics on hormonal contraceptive use and breast cancer. A 2006 Mayo Clinic meta-analysis concluded that breast cancer risk rises 50% for women taking oral contraceptives 4 or more years before a full-term pregnancy. In 2009, the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center found that women starting the pill before 18 nearly quadrupled their risk of triple-negative breast cancer. Even more shocking, a Swedish oncologist concluded that pill use before the age of 20 increases a young woman's breast cancer risk by more than 1,000%.
These are startling numbers, and we really need to get the word out to our families, families, friends, and acquaintances about this very subject whenever we have the chance, because their physical, mental, and spiritual well-being and health are at stake. Sometimes we might be afraid to approach someone we know who is on the birth control pill or some other type of contraceptive. We don't want to just go up to them and say, that's a mortal sin and you shouldn't be doing that. Well, oftentimes approaching it from a more holistic point of view can be much more effective and eventually lead them to the fullness of the truth. Providing information about these studies that show the tremendous harm that can come about from using hormonal contraceptives is a great act of charity. It shows you care about the person's well-being, including their physical body. A great tool to make use of, once again, is the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute's website at bcpinstitute.org. They've got an awesome printable brochure on there called The Pill Kills. You can either order copies or print one off. It's a neat little pamphlet that succinctly describes the life-threatening and general medical consequences of taking hormonal contraceptives. Another great website and informational tool is also found at naturalwomanhood.org. They've got lots of great information on the harms of contraception, as well as great guidance on fertility awareness programs. Lots of help and resources are out there that we can use to spread the word during the month of October and beyond.
Well, let's tie up a couple of loose ends to this whole discussion on the abortion breast cancer link, because some questions naturally come up. Like, for example, does having a spontaneous abortion, in other words, a miscarriage, increase a woman's risk of developing breast cancer? And the answer to that is simply no, it does not, as long as it occurs in early pregnancy. This is because estrogen levels are much lower than normal in a pregnancy destined for miscarriage, so breast tissue is often unaffected in these cases. However, should a woman experience a late-term miscarriage, then yes, this would add to her risk. Also, something important that the ABC link means is this. A woman who never gets pregnant is safer from breast cancer than if she ends a pregnancy by way of induced abortion. Another question that may come up is there any hope of reversing the damage caused for women who have had abortions or taken hormonal contraceptives? Absolutely. Research shows that with each full-term pregnancy and year of breastfeeding, you can recover, so to speak, at least some of your protection against breast cancer, depending on how many children you birth and how many years you breastfeed. And of course, just because you have had an abortion or taken hormonal contraception does not mean that you will get breast cancer, just like not every woman who gets breast cancer has had an abortion or has taken hormonal contraception.
Well, pioneer breast cancer researcher Dr. Brian McMahon once wrote, "One of the most important contributions of epidemiology to the fight against cancer has been the demonstration that many of the prevalent forms of human cancer are preventable. And in this Respect Life Month that is also observed by many as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it's a good time to educate ourselves and others about how this horrible disease can be prevented in so many ways, most notably by not having an abortion or taking any of the hormonal contraceptives, by not delaying childbirth if you are married, by being generous in the number of children you conceive, and by providing for their nourishment by the means God has given to us, by breastfeeding, if at all possible. God's beautiful plan for marriage and family life is not only good for our souls, it's good for our bodies."
Well, the real war against women is being pushed through the sales of induced abortion and abortifacient drugs, shots, and implants. Like big tobacco, big abortion hides or tries to discredit the studies that show the undeniable connection between abortion and hormonal contraception and breast cancer. During this month of October, let's offer up a rosary for all of those women who have been affected by breast cancer and for the scales to be removed from the eyes of medical professionals, that they will begin to discourage women from having abortions or taking contraceptives, and instead help them to embrace life, showing them how they are beautifully and wonderfully made. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. In these last few remaining days of this fall's 40 Days for Life campaign, be sure to sign up for some hours to pray at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Your help is greatly needed and appreciated. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.